verses 23 to 33, which will be our main text for this evening's study of God's Word on the topic, how to be a godly husband. Whoso findeth a wife, says Proverbs 18:22, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Proverbs 18:22. Some men who have rather difficult wives may find the facts of this verse a great mystery. So ladies, you have a responsibility to be a godly wife. I guess I've spoken sufficiently last Lord's Day, so I'm not going to have another sermon for you. Nonetheless, just a reminder once again. For that, I would like to read to you Proverbs 12:4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. That is Proverbs 12:4. God's expectation of every godly woman is to be a crown to her husband. You must be the most celebrated thing in the life of your husband. May I now address the husbands? Whatever be your thoughts and experiences concerning your wife, the scripture unequivocally says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Every godly husband must look at his wife as a gift from God. And we must look at our wives with thankful spirits to God. She is a good thing, and therefore we must esteem her. We must cherish her. Why is she a good thing? As Genesis 2:18 tells us, she is God's provision for us. She is our helpmeet for society of life, for the mitigation or easing of a man's cares and troubles, and for the prevention of sins. She is God's special grace to you. Some men think that, oh, I will have my wife and I will keep her at home and go after other women outside. And they think that's a great enjoyment and pleasure and the best thing to happen to them. But look, it is exactly to prevent such a situation that God provided you with a wife, that you may only have her to yourself and none else, which is a blessing. To prevent you from sin, to help you with an appropriate and adequate help in all the cares of your life, God has given you a wife. Now, being depraved, we all have our weaknesses, including our wives. They might have given you tough times. Nonetheless, it's our duty to look at her and go to God and say, Lord, make my wife my best gift from you on this earth. That is what God wants you to think of your wife. So every godly husband must look at his wife with a thankful spirit to God. And we must pray to the Lord that he will enable her to be the kind of blessing and favor that God wants her to be. Otherwise, you might deal with her with a bitter spirit. It's not expected of any husband to deal with the wives with a bitter, angry, and unhappy spirit. And I believe only a thankful heart can really deal with the wives with kind-hearted and thankful spirit. With these words of introduction, I want to take your attention to that familiar passage in Ephesians 5. You might have heard your pastor expounding this passage on your wedding day. You might have heard it again and again during other people's wedding. You have no choice but to hear me again expounding on the same text. Nonetheless, I pray that the Spirit of God would take these words and make it applicable, a blessing to you. Ephesians 5:23-33. Now here, we are given three major counsels. Three major counsels for a man to be a godly husband. First, counsel: a godly husband ought to assume his leadership in the house. Verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. What a statement! Nobody should ever doubt the accuracy of this statement. Husband is the head of the wife. Grammatically, it's a declaration. God's own statement. So we cannot challenge it. But in case you doubt the exactness of those statements, Paul says, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, nobody can deny that. Christ is the head of the church. If that is the truth, then God has intended the husbands to be the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. Dear friends, nothing should change this fact. Husbands, you may not be as educated as your wives. You may not come from a rich family as hers. You may be not so articulate as she is. You might have failed in your business. You might have found yourself rather unworthy to be your wife's husband because you regard her so highly. But none of these things should be allowed to make you think otherwise. You are still the head of your wife. You still possess the leadership at home. Some years back, I talked to a man who is in his late 30s. He got married late. He was a wonderful Christian, but his education was very, very low. He was actually a cleaner in Singapore Airport, Changi Airport. He remained single for a long time. Then one Christian lady fell in love with him, but she is a junior college lecturer. It's a big difference, isn't it? They come from a different church. I only know them because I met them somewhere. But that meeting was quite bad. He broke down and said, "Pastor, maybe I made a big mistake of marrying somebody who is more educated than me. She always looks down on me. She says I'm stupid. I cannot be the leader of the house." Well, I can understand very easily that he is not that intelligent as his wife is. Nonetheless, to have his wife trouble him day and night, week after week, month after month, by whispering into his ear and sometimes shouting and yelling that you cannot be a leader in this house, is very painful. My only advice to him was this: do not look at your educational background. Shut your ears against what she says and others tell you. Believe what God has said. You are the head of your wife. Believe it. And then pray to the Lord that God will give you the grace to be a man of stature, integrity, and godly wisdom. He may not be able to read very difficult educational books, but if that man is a man who fears the Lord, one who has great reverence for God's truth, one who prays and yields before God, I certainly believe the mighty God will help him what he called him to be, a godly husband. But he has to believe against the voices that keep on troubling him, that that's his calling. Husbands, you've got to assume your leadership at home. Now that means several things. I don't have time to take you through all the references, so I quickly tell a few things. You must trust the Lord. As Psalm 128 says, if you trust the Lord will bless your family. And you must pray every day. You must call your wife and your children. Say, come before the Lord, let's pray. That's where your leadership begins. It's not by the amount that you bring from your workplace. Forget about all those things. The leadership at home is given to you by God who created man and woman. And so your leadership at home, firstly, is in this fact that you lead your wife and children to the presence of God. You, man, take the leadership at home to sing the hymns in the morning. You take leadership to read the Bible. If you are not capable of expounding the verses that you read, have a devotional book like RPG or Daily Remembrance. Read it. Let your wives and your children hear the word of God through your mouth. Job would sacrifice for his family, his children, every day. And we have to assume spiritual leadership. Once our ways pleases the Lord, all things will fall in the right place. But problem that we face today in many homes is that husbands would be the last one to wake up. Husbands would be the last one to be interested in reading the Bible and praying. When the wife says, "Darling, wake up. You go and pray with the children. Let me sleep a little bit more." You will find the leadership of the house slipping out through your fingers. You can't hold it together. Husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ paves the way for you to the Father's presence. And like Christ, as you follow Christ, you must also lead your wife to God's presence. You must tell her what is expected of you as a godly husband and what is expected of her as a godly wife. You must tell your children what is expected of them as godly children. It doesn't matter whether you can help them with their homework or not. If you can, please do. It doesn't matter whether you can buy everything that your children likes to have in their life. You know, to be very frank, if my leadership at home is based on what I bring home and what I provide for my wife and children, then I tell you very quickly, I'm not a leader. Because when I married my wife, I didn't have much money. When my children came, I had to cry for every day's meal to provide them with those things. But still, I did one thing. I would make my wife and children pray. I would lead them to God's presence. I assume the leadership at home by obeying God in my role as a husband. So should you, my friends. So should we all. Every husband who does not bring his family to the presence of God is a failure in the leadership of the family. I don't care how much you have earned and saved up for the children. I still believe you are a failure if you have not led your family as God wants you to lead them. So your leadership, your headship at home, is not dependent on any of the physical things, but totally dependent on your fulfilling of your role before God. The Lord is the head of the church, and at the end of verse 23 we are told He is the Savior of the body. You see the importance? Christ's headship of the church is so closely connected to His work as our Redeemer. He leads us to the Father. We yield ourselves totally to Him because He desires our cleansing, our redemption, and our spiritual well-being. So should the husbands be. If they want to be good spiritual leaders at home, their greatest desire ought to be the salvation, the sanctification, and the nurture of everyone in the family. The second very important and detailed counsel to men that they may be godly wives is that they ought to love their wives. A godly husband ought to love his wife. You can see this from verses 25 to verse 30. Firstly, like Christ, husbands must love his wives. Husbands must love their wives with sacrificial love. The kind of love we ought to have for our wives is described as sacrificial love. Let's read verse 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. He loved the church by giving himself for it. And that's exactly what the kind of love Paul expects of all of us. We must be sacrificing when it comes to our concern and love for our wives. It can be sacrifice of time. It can be sacrifice of money. Some time ago I was in Kenya and I was talking to about 28 pastors and their wives. 28 pastors and wives. And I spent about 4 days with them. And I looked at many of these pastors and wives, and I noticed that pastors all dressed very well. You know, they have very nice suits, shining shoes, very nice suit, and they look very handsome and, you know, posh. I look at the poor wives, some of them don't even have slippers on the feet. And not all, some. Some are well-dressed. And some of the pastor's wives look very, very poor. But the husbands look really good. Well-kept and well-groomed. And really the kind of man you like to see on the pulpit. Well, then I said to them, did you realize your wives have no shoes? And some ladies said, Amen! And one old man who was a pastor, he said, Pastor, I don't have the kind of money that you think, so that's why I didn't buy a shoe for my wife. I said, then how do you get the shoe on your feet? Well, you know, in our culture, it's okay. So he tried to tell me that in that culture, it's okay. Well, I can understand that they may not give that much respect to their wives in their culture, but that does not justify his deeds. He still ought to care for his wife. Maybe that wife of his is very used to walking around without shoes and slippers. But truly, even that lady said, Pastor, you need to preach these sermons more often when you come to Kenya. Which is very true. You know, some of us are busy serving the Lord. Pastors, FEBC students who are listening to me, don't ever give excuse to your wife. I love my church so much, sorry I got very little time for you. Somehow, we must strike a balance. It's a big struggle, I agree. I do struggle a lot in finding time for my family and at the same time doing all the work that the Lord has given to me. But no excuse, my friends. We got to sacrifice sometimes even our personal time of rest and pleasure. You make sure you let your wife know that you love her. Don't say, anyway, I'm coming back home every night, so you should know I love you. You know? If I don't love you, I wouldn't come back home. So what is that you always ask me whether you love me or not? Sometimes ladies ask whether you love me or not because you don't seem to love her. When you get home, you change your clothes, you sit on your most comfortable chair that you have reserved for yourself. You turn on the TV, you read your newspaper, and then you tell wife, is the dinner ready? To you, that means you love her. Not necessary. I've said this story before, but I think it's appropriate, so forgive me for saying it. Many years ago, my second son came, and maybe my wife will scold me about this, but never mind. I reached home after Bible study quite late, 11 o'clock at night. Both children were sleeping and my wife was washing plates and cups in the kitchen. I put down my bag and went around and put my arms around her and said, darling, I'm sorry I'm late. I love you. How were the children today? Very tough, very difficult. They were crying and all that. You see, the house is in a mess. I didn't have time to clear up all the mess. No, we didn't have maids or any help, only both of us. And I said, well, must have been tough. I love you. Then she said, you truly love me? I said, of course. She said, then do one thing, please. Please take up the broom and sweep. Otherwise, I cannot go to sleep until 2 a.m. I have a lot of work to do. Love is no more saying, I love you, darling. Love is no more writing poems and giving to her. She got no time for that. Now she needs to know that you love. And it can be done only by working extra. I came home very tired. But if I lie down for my comfort, my wife wouldn't know that I love her. I really have to pick up the broom and sweep. Not that she demanded or she forced me to do. But that is required of me if I love her. A husband who walks with a closed eye, not knowing what is a wife's need, can never say, truly, I love her. Maybe it's in your heart, but it has to be expressed, even at the sacrifice of our own time and comfort. Paul also said that we must love our wives with a sanctifying love. Not only sacrificial love, but with sanctifying love. Please read verses 26 to 27. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now here, Apostle Paul describes Christ's love for the church as a sanctifying love. He teaches us, he lovingly and gently gives us the truth. He himself, he is the Word of God, he is the Word, eternal Word, he is the truth, and he gives us the truth. And he gives us the truth of God's word that we may be cleansed by it. That we may at the end appear before him as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. How every husband ought to be like Christ. Praying and desiring that, Lord, my wife on that day when the Lord Jesus returns will have all the rewards that a godly wife ought to have. What can I contribute to help her to be the best Christian that she ought to be? Husbands, we have a great duty to love our wives with sanctifying love. That's why I told you a while ago, your leadership ought to be something that will drive you to take your wife and children to the Lord's presence. You are a spiritual leader at home. And the purpose of it is to sanctify our dear ones at home. And our love for our wives also ought to be a nourishing, strengthening love. It ought to be sacrificial love. It all ought to be sanctifying love. It ought to be strengthening love. Now read verses 28 to 30. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Here, Apostle Paul tells us, if we love our wives, we got to love our wives as we ourselves. Nobody likes to punch himself, right? Nobody in sound mind would like to hurt himself. We protect ourselves. We beautify ourselves, isn't it? We take care of ourselves. And that's right. You ought to do it. Nothing wrong about it. If you love yourself, Paul says you have to love your wife just as you care for yourself. That's what Jesus does. Because the church is Christ's body. Because the church is Christ's body, he who is the head of the church cherishes and nourishes the body. So, a Christian husband, a godly husband, ought to cherish and nourish his wife. Now, this is not an easy thing. If you want to nourish, you need to cherish the person. I mean, if I want to groom myself well, I got to look into the mirror and see whether I'm all right. And I must be alert to my own weaknesses in the body. Some years back, about 4 or 5 years ago, when I find myself getting very tired and unusually thirsty, I become quite concerned about my health. It just don't go away. At first I thought the thirst is because it's very hot outside. But it was not the case. It was so strong, and I must drink, you know, like 6 to 8 big bottles of water a day. It's very unusual in my life, and I was wondering what's happening. I refused to acknowledge that I'm in trouble. I thought it's normal because I'm still working very hard. I still got the energy, but there was an unusual tiredness in my body. Finally, I read somewhere such symptoms can be because of diabetes or high blood pressure and so on. So I decided I should check myself. But again, I postponed. Because I said, no time. It's okay, I'm still all right, no problem. Just drink more water, that's all. One day I went back home to India, and my father is a little bit diabetic, and he checks his blood every morning. He got a small machine to check his blood sugar. And then he said, Das, you check your blood. I said, why? I'm all right. No, you check. Because I got diabetes. You may have it. You better check. I don't know what prompted him to tell me to do that. I just checked. Mine. I was shocked. My father said, go now. Go and see the doctor. Now, if we don't give a ear, listening ear, to our problems, how can we take care? You need to have an attentive ear even to your wife. Please consider this verse. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Peter has a very interesting advice for all the husbands. In fact, 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6 are Peter's advice for the ladies. But he only gives one verse for the husband. Not fair. But never mind. He compensates for the less number of verses by just saying at the beginning of verse 7, likewise. In other words, everything he said to the wives, you better apply to your own life, alright? And then he gives an additional one. So ladies, don't get angry with Peter, alright? He gave you 6, but he gave the husbands 7 verses. Likewise, plus a new one. Alright, what's the new one? Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Ye husbands, dwell with them, referring to the wives, according to knowledge. Now what is that? Peter is not saying, make sure you know the address of your wife's residence. No. He is not saying you must know the whereabouts of your wife. He is saying that you better dwell with her, not as a stranger in the house who know nothing about your wife, but one who knows the needs, the fears, the anxieties, and the troubles of your wife. Some time ago in the church, I met with a lady who looked very sickly. I said, why is that you look quite tired today? Are you sick? She really looked sick. And she said, yeah, Pastor, for the last 2 weeks I had this migraine. It's not going away. Then I said, you better see a doctor then. Okay, I should do it. Yeah, I must find some time. But children are having exams and all that. I thought it's the stress. So I didn't bother much, but it's troubling me. I said, all right, but please go and see a doctor. We will pray for you. After a while, I walked around talking with others. I met the husband. So I said to the husband, your wife is not well. He said, what's wrong with her? I got a shock. He said, something happened to her? I said, no, she's okay. She was telling me she was not well for 2 weeks. Really? I was wondering where this husband has been all this time. Really? She got headache. He got no time. He comes late. He wakes up early. He does that every day. He just assumes his wife is okay. What a godly husband. I said, you cannot be like this. You better care for your wife. You know, slow down a bit. Find some time for your wife. Talk to her. Find out what the problems are. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Otherwise, you cannot care for them. Otherwise, you cannot nourish them. And you need to give extra care to know your wife's needs, because the Bible says she is a weaker vessel. She needs attention. Yes, she is called to be a helpmeet. Some men are very good in saying, Pastor, don't worry. God will give her all the grace because she is called to be my helpmeet. You know. So if she has to be my helpmeet, she's got to be very strong. So don't worry about it. It's okay. That's how some people behave. But the Bible also says, she also needs your help. She's a weaker vessel. And I want to tell this secret to all the husbands. The husband who looks after his wife will have the best help from his wife. A husband who doesn't care for his wife will have the least help for himself. I told you at the very beginning, we all men ought to be thankful to God for our wives. Because the Bible says she is a good thing and a favor from the Lord. So we got to be thankful. If we are thankful, we must take care of what God has given to us. So if we listen to our wives, if she bothered to know her needs and struggles, well, we will cherish and nourish her. And giving honor unto the wife. You know how to honor your wife? By taking care of her. By looking after her. And then at the end of 1 Peter 3:7, Peter said, you must respect her as being heirs together of the grace of life. What does that mean? Heirs together. The grace of life. The grace of life, I believe here, it's a reference to all the providential grace of God for our life on earth. Our wives have equal share to everything that God has given to us. I know of a husband who refused to put the wife's name when they bought a new house. The reason he gave, it's my house. You were not working. You are looking after the children. I work so hard, it's with my CPF money I buy this, so it's mine. Very cruel. And they fought over it. Some husbands will not let the wife share equally of the things that God has given to them. Of course, I'm very aware of the fact that for business purposes, you may have separate accounts and so on and so on. That's fine. Nonetheless, for in every joy and pleasure that God gives to you in this life, your wife must have a part. Not just a small part. The same kind of involvement that God wants you to give her. Must be given to her. Heirs together of the grace of life. Only then, Peter says, your prayers will not be hindered. When you keep your wives at a distance, you cannot be a loving leader of your wife. when you do not share your blessings lovingly and happily with your wife, you cannot really pray with her. Even if you do that, even if you pray, God is not going to hear your prayers, all right? It will be hindered. Every house ought to be a little church, a house of prayer. There must be prayer every day. God doesn't want our prayers to be hindered. And the best way to prepare our homes, husbands, to be a house of prayer, is to love our wives with sacrificial love, with sanctifying love, and strengthening love. Now, the third important counsel that Paul gives to all men to be godly husbands is that he ought to be faithful to his wife. Now, verse 31 of Ephesians 5. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is God's blueprint for every marriage. And this is the only statement about marriage that is repeated 4 times in the Bible. Genesis 2:24 is the first time when God uttered these words. Then Jesus quoted it, and it was recorded twice in the New Testament, Matthew 19:5 and Mark 10:7-8. And now Paul says it again in his epistle, Ephesians 5. 4 times. Genesis 2:24, Matthew 19:5, Mark 10:7-8, and Ephesians 5:31. Now again, when you look at these quotations or these repetitions in the scripture, one is mentioned before the fall of man, the original intent of marriage, that man will leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they become one flesh. After the fall, this plan has not changed. It still remains the same. God has seen a husband's relationship with his wife as more significant than a child's relationship with the father. He will leave his father and mother. There will be a change in the emotional aspects of a man's relationship with the parents. It's not suggesting you should forsake or dishonor your parents. But the moment when you are married, men, God expects you to give uttermost devotion and care and love to your wives. And then the scripture clearly says, they too shall be one flesh. This talks about sexual fidelity, faithfulness to the wife. At this juncture, let me read to you the advice of Proverbs chapter 5. If you can turn quickly, you may turn to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 to 23. Let all men who are listening to me tonight take heed to these counsels. Proverbs 5, 18 onwards. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. All right. Maybe she is not that youthful anymore. Maybe both of you are quite old, so you have no right to take your eyes away from your wife and look at other young girls. All right. You have to always regard your wives with the same passion that you had when we were young and married. So scripture says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. You still hold on to her all the days of your life together with that passion and zeal. Verse 19, let her be as the loving hind and the pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Man, you got no business with pornographic pictures. Those kinds of websites and materials are not for us. Those women who take off their clothes and walk up and down in fashion shows and reveal themselves to entertain men who watch movies and films, they have got no place in our eyes and in our hearts. They are a curse if we allow ourselves to be entertained with them. You know, sisters, let me just give you an advice. If your husband says, darling, let's go and watch a movie, and if you know the movie is full of women who are temptresses, dressed with alluring dresses, like dresses of an harlot, you tell your husband, sorry, I'm not going to sit there with you and watch the whole thing for 2 hours. The wives who go with the husbands to watch such horrendous, lustful, sensual movies, they don't realize they are allowing or encouraging their husbands to be distracted by women who are out there. And I want to tell the husbands, it is your honorable duty not to be entertained with such things. It's your honor. Verse 20. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? What a question. My son, why would you allow a strange woman and the bosom of such a stranger to be your pleasure? Well, warning in verse 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Even if you manage to keep those things secret, it will never be hidden from the Lord who gave you a wife. He will find you guilty, and he will meet your sins according to his righteousness. You know, one of my greatest prayers for our churches in these days is that God will give us men who are faithful to their wives, pastors and elders and deacons, members of the church. When we have faithful husbands, our churches will be greatly blessed. But when we have husbands who pretend to love their wives and then sneak out to look at filthy women outside, our churches do suffer a great deal. And may that never happen. Dear brothers, pray in your heart that you will be a leader at home, as Christ is the head of the church. You will be a loving husband, and you will be a faithful husband. That is God's plan for all of us. May God bless you.